Okay. Hebrews. All right. Hebrews chapter 3. We are just getting into chapter 3. So, as we normally do, we'll go back a few verses just to get a running start from chapter 2 and move into chapter 3. And before we start, just a quick recap. Hebrews is written to the Hebrews. And the theme of the book would be
better things.
Better things. Okay, that's
moving on from Christ.
Is encouraging the Hebrews to move on from
the law.
The law on to Christ. It's really a transition. I think someone said that last week, from the old covenant to the new covenant. And Jesus Christ is he's the testator, and the testator has died. So now he's ready to enforce the new covenant as they move on. And he's trying to get them to see that Old Testament is over. And to move on to better things. Really, to move on to the offered inheritance. Which would be? The offered inheritance would be? The kingdom, right? Did you say kingdom? Okay. So, let's pick back up at chapter 2, verse 14. We're not going to reteach the lesson, but just to pick some highlights out. In verse 14, he says, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also, he being Jesus Christ, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham." So you notice that Jesus Christ became a son of man, or we'll say the Son of God became the son of man, that the sons of men might become the sons of God.
John.
We'll take that. But he dies to equip them. You know, it's a verse in John that says that the Holy Spirit could not be given until Jesus had been crucified. Well, the Holy Spirit is the assurance of also their justification, but it's also the empowerment that they need to be the sons of God. He's the enabler. He's the transformer for them and us. The sons of God. Okay.
Even to them that believed on his name.
Okay. And the Holy Spirit, what the Holy Spirit does is he's the member of the Godhead that works that change in us and also them. And you know the new covenant where he said that he would take out their stony heart and give them a heart of flesh. And he would cause them to walk in his ways and keep his statutes. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He makes them a new creation. He makes them sons. He enables them to labor with God. He enables them to fulfill God's purpose as sons of God. So, but he has to die. Jesus Christ has to die in order for that to happen. The new covenant cannot be enacted or activated until he dies. In verse 14, he says that he destroyed him. His death destroyed him that had the power of death, that is the devil. And you think about when Jesus Christ died, we'll just use this for him. The scripture says, and we know a lot of this from Paul. He's uncovered it. These are all enemies. These are all enemies of the believer. Yeah, thank you. I couldn't think of the sin, the law, death, and the devil. They all work together to keep not just the Hebrews, but even us, to keep us from functioning as sons. You can't do this with no power. And the power is the Holy Spirit working with His Word. In their case, the Word was in them. In our case, it has to be what? It has to. We have to put it in us. But you know what He says about sin? That He destroyed sin. I think Peter says that He
sin by the sacrifice of Himself.
Yes, He destroyed sin in his own body on the tree. That's not right. Let me read that. He says, Who His own self, this is 1 Peter chapter 2, who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed. Now that's for them, but He did destroy sin. That's what Romans 6 says. He destroyed sin by His death, by His body on the tree. In the law, Colossians says that He has abolished the law, right? Abolished means He's completely done away with it. He says, which was contrary to us and against us. The law stands for performance. That is, everything that God requires for righteousness, He actually listed those things in the law, in the Old Testament, in the Old Covenant. They couldn't do it.
So when it said that the law was contrary to us, but we know that the law is good, we know the law is perfect, Is it contrary in the sense that we are incapable of keeping it? That's why it's contrary.
Right.
So we can only fail.
Because all the law did was magnify how unworthy you really are to do it. Is even though He gave you a set of commandments, all it showed was that you did not have the ability to be righteous by your performance.
And so part of what the Pharisees did in the traditions of man is taking what God meant to show us our imperfection and make that the standard. We still do it today.
And there's no way...
It was never intended for that. It was intended to be a mirror to our sin nature.
It was to make sin exceeding sinful. You know, you never really know how bad you are unless you have something to gauge it by. You don't know how bad something is until you know that there's another side to it. You know, it's like you can say, man, he's really sinful. Or you say, well, How can you say that when I haven't done anything? And he says, okay, well, I'll give you 10. We're going to use just 10 by accommodation. I'll give you 10. And then when you go through that 10, it's like, wow. He's pretty bad. How many did he get right? None. He said, there's none righteous. No. There's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. They're all together become unprofitable. They're all going out of the way. And the law proves it. But he says he has what? Abolished the law. The enmity you know, that strong hatred between the unbeliever and Christ. You wouldn't think that, but anytime you say, I can do this on my own, you become an enemy. You become an enemy to the cross. He destroyed death. We know that, right?
So, if you don't mind me personalizing this, because, you know, this is something I wrestled with my brother. You know, in this Hebrew Ridge movement, they're very adamant that, oh yeah, you're saved by grace, but then you keep the law. You know, because they're reading into, you know, Israel's suffering.
Okay.
And,
well, maybe I'll say this and it'll come back to you. In Timothy, he says this. He said, the law was not written for a righteous man. After you trust Christ, he imputes righteousness to you. And when God sees you, when God sees you, he sees you as the righteousness of God in him. That's what imputed righteousness is. It's put on your account. So when he sees you, that's how you completely accept it in him. Now Timothy says this, the law was not written for a righteous man. Look at it, 1 Timothy. Look at 1 Timothy.
All those list of things.
1 Timothy, yep, chapter 1. You know, that's why when we pray, you know, first thing we do is we ask, you know what, to believe the words on the page. You have to, and another thing is knowing who your apostle is. That's a big thing, is if you don't accept the instructions and the information that's given to you from God, then you can only go left.
Well, in this whole Hebrew Roots thing, they have a whole team of Romans. They have it all twisted to say what we know Paul to say, that he was saying just the opposite. It's amazing. I mean, my brother, for years now, wears those little Jewish tassels on his. Everywhere he goes, he wants everything.
You know, it's a difference from reading Paul and what Paul would say, if any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. You can't acknowledge what he says if you're going to twist it at the same time. You have to let it speak the way it speaks. Now watch this. He says this. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8. But we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. Now, if you're saved, we just said you're righteous, right? And he says the law was not written for what?
A righteous man.
Because he already has the righteousness of God imputed to him. So he's not trying to prove that he's righteous. But for those who try it, he says it's written for those, to show them that you have to get this another way. The righteousness. You have to get it. You can't do it because it's weak through you. And that's where the imputed righteousness comes in, where Christ imputes it to you. Okay. Does that make sense? I know it does.
And I'll, it just breaks my heart that my brother is so.
Well,
Paul said,
It's not just him.
If our gospel be, yeah, but he's my focus. If our gospel be his, then that's where we're going.
What's that? Oh, okay. Yeah.
Producing spirits and doctrines of demons.
And that's what it, you know, and that's why we, part of the reason why we try to learn these things is where we can kind of help people where they are. So with the Hebrews, back to Hebrews, this has to happen in order for them to be equipped to be partakers. So verse, we left off in 2 and 15, he says, to deliver them and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore, in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. So Jesus Christ, he comes down, he takes on the form of a man. When he's called the Son of Man, that's what we're talking about. He actually identifies himself with mankind. He becomes the second Adam.
Federal
head. He becomes the federal head. That is the sole identifier, where when God sees us, you're either in Adam or in Christ. That's what, when he says federal head, that means like federal government. That's like the corporate. A corporate look as the whole. And just like sin passed upon all men, Jesus Christ comes and becomes the second Adam, that we all would have a chance to have imputed righteousness. And he says, it behooved him, in all things, it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren. He is a sympathizer. Is that right? Or empathizer. He partook of flesh that he might experience the, as Hebrews says, that he was tempted in all points, yet without sin. He put on that body so he could experience what it's like to be a man. So he can enable them who come after. I think that's coming up in Hebrews, where he says he did these things that he might be an example. And you know, one thing we say about that, he was tempted in all points, we think of, you know, all kinds of things. We think when he say all points, he doesn't mean, okay, he was tempted to drink and smoke and that kind of thing. And really, it can be summed up as this. He was tempted to deviate from obedience to the Father's, right, from obedience from the Father's will. He was tempted to do that.
In the garden, Gethsemane, when he's praying, Lord, if it be possible, let this cup pass, but
not. And this, that was just one incident. He does it all through his ministry, where. And he'll say, you know, I do nothing except what I hear from my Father. That's, and in Hebrews in chapter 10, he says this, that he came in the volume to do what?
To do thy will.
To do what?
To do thy will, O God, it is written.
To do thy what?
Will.
Okay. And he was completely obedient. And that doesn't mean that the adversary didn't tempt him to do otherwise.
Lust of the flesh, lust of all three. In Matthew 4.
That's going to be your hang up. Is he's going to influence you to do it your way. can we relate to that?
Yeah.
You know, it's always you think you can do it better. And you don't find out until the bottom falls out, then you say, well, that didn't work. But
not really.
Oh, you know what? Because he when he lays out the course of this world, it's on autopilot. Because he knows that it doesn't take a whole lot for you to be sidetracked.
I mean, if Adam could in the midst of perfection.
That's, you know, one of the things I think was the greatest ability that we have is the ability to choose. The only problem.
God loves freedom.
And that's our greatest asset becomes our greatest liability, because we're not.
That's why like even with that verse you were reading about handling the word deceitfully, handling it skillfully, because it can mean life to you or it can mean death to you.
And usually, we don't. Our obedience is not on the level of the Son's obedience. That's why he has to impute his accomplishments, which was total obedience to you and I. And to all those. Look at verse, he says, wherefore, 2:17, it behooved him, it was advantageous for him to do this. He says, it had to be done. He had to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. When he took all that was wrong with us, and he laid it on himself. And then he took all that was right with him, and did what? Made it available for us. Hold your hand there. Look at Romans 3. He says in Romans 3, verse 21. He says, but now, 3:21. But now the righteousness of God without the law is what? What's the righteous? What does that mean? The righteousness of God. What does that phrase mean? What does that phrase mean? The righteousness of God without the law is manifested. The perfectness of God. Okay, that's. It's when. God lays out his requirements for righteousness, for you to be just in his sight. He lays it out in the law. It's perfect holiness, perfect sanctification, and that's, he says, that's my standard. If you can meet it, Romans 2 says, if you can do it, I'll give you eternal life. If you can do it, that's my standard. Nobody can make it.
In Romans 3 says, and nobody does.
He just said what? But now, the righteousness, well, you know what? Go back up. Go back one. Now we know, 19, what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified or righteous, what?
In his sight.
For by the law
is the knowledge of sin.
Okay. Now here's the big but. But now, the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. If God had left it, the law as the standard, how many would be righteous?
None.
No, not one. So he has to He has to find, I don't say find a way, he has to reveal what was always in his mind, that that righteousness would be given to us as a free gift. He says, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ. Which is by
faith.
Right. Now, I'm not going to. Faith, which is by faith, the faithfulness of Jesus Christ, the fidelity of Jesus Christ. And everywhere when you go through and you see that phrase, it'll say faith of Christ. It's always, and I hear people say, you know, it's just his belief. No, it's not. It's not because he believed the Father. It's what he did after he believed the Father. The devil believed the God, and he what?
He did it his
own way. So it's not, it's the fact of, is he was
following through.
Following the Father's will. To the end. Following all the way through.
Which in a, I guess in a similar vein, when we walk by the Spirit, I mean, we're sealed on the day of redemption with the moment we believe. But it's walking by the Spirit, letting the Word with the Spirit work through us, that's that following through, right?
That's how it's manifested through us. It's you're taking his word and you're yielding your members to this.
To the Father's will.
And then he does it.
Just like you said, I do nothing but that the Father, and here's where the Father reveals it to us.
That's what it means to walk in the Spirit. You take that word, you're operating on his word. He says, Annette, whatever the commandment is, I won't pick with you. Where it says, be kind, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. You take that verse and you know what? You says, Lord, I'm doing this because your word says I'm walking in that. I didn't write that. Did I write that? That's But the faithfulness of Christ, the fidelity is his obedience, where he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And he said, the righteousness of God is he said, it's now what? Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. You know, I see these words and they just popping out all the time. And I don't want to get too sight. Matter of fact, I'm just going to keep going. We're going to keep going. He says, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his belief.
His righteousness.
Huh?
His
righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say, at this time, his belief. His what?
Righteousness.
His performance. That he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. He says, now, my son, he did it. And what he did, he says, I'm going to give that righteousness. It's available unto all. You know, when we come in here and you guys put these things in the box here, it's available what? Huh?
To everyone.
to all. How many go out with it?
Some.
Why don't they get it?
They don't want it.
It's unto all, but what?
Upon all
them that what? Believe I can have one. I'm going to take this one. And it's anyone. So don't get it. So, he says, that's how you get it. Now, we said all that to emphasize Hebrews, back to Hebrews. Where it says, it behooved him. This is something that Christ had to do in order for the to emphasize with man in his plight and to enable men to become sons of God. You know, so they could have what it takes to function as the image of Christ, the image of God. He says in verse 18, "For in that he himself hath suffered, being tempted, he is able also, he is able to
succor."
I was going to say it again. Succor. Succor. To succor them, not succor, S-U-C-K-E-R, to succor, comfort them that are tempted. And that is when you're tempted to deviate from the Father's will, he says, that's what I... If the Lord tells you, you can walk in the Spirit, why would you say, no, I can't?
You don't believe it.
I mean, He said the very reason why I came in the likeness of flesh and for sin is to show you that what? If you trust his word, if you rely on his word, you can what? You can walk in the Spirit. Did I say that wrong?
No.
Okay. Romans, you know what he says in Romans? He said, you were the what? Servants of sin. Say it again.
That's
you were. That's okay. Let me read this.
You obeyed from the heart.
Well, yeah. Before that, look at this. Look at this. I'm in Romans 6. I'm gonna read it. You don't. Start at verse 1. He says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so, we might.
We also.
Even so, we also could. Even so, we also should walk in newness of life. Wait a minute, Paul. You sure about that? He says, for, to further explain this to you, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, were we?
When? When
we believe. We shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. What is that? He's going to tell you. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be what? Destroyed, that henceforth we should struggle. I'm not saying we don't struggle, but I'm saying this is, don't tell God that what he did, he didn't do. She said, I know. It's hard, isn't it? When you see that, but that's the thing is, you're telling the Lord that, you know what? I know you did it, but you don't know me. What? Wait a minute now. He said, no, you don't know me. He says, knowing this. Now look, he says, verse 7. For you that are dead are what? Wait a minute. You mean I'm never going to sin again?
No.
What does he mean? What does he mean? I don't have to serve sin.
He means you have an alternative.
What's my alternative?
Walk in the Spirit. How?
By the power of the Spirit. That's where?
In the Word of God.
It's where?
In me.
You sure it's in you?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, we walk around like it's not really in us.
Right.
Like we're scared. We're scared to believe what he just said. You know, I said this one time in Detroit. This was years ago where my father died when I was young, like 5 years old. So I was telling them, I said, and every once in a while, especially my sister, we'll talk sometimes and she'll go on these trips. You know, like, oh, what if this was, and where would we be? And I was like, hey, snap out of it. It's like, and I asked him, I said, you might have influences from a dead man. But I asked him this, I said, do I have a father? Do I have a father? I'm asking you that. My father died when I was 5 years old. Do I have a father? Where is he?
Well, it depends.
Oh, I'm just saying, like literally speaking, I'm saying like, right, do I have a father?
So now you're trying to trick somebody.
I'm just, no, I'm not talking about God the Father.
Oh, okay.
I'm saying, okay.
You are a biological creation, therefore you have a father.
Right. Okay, right. And I'm saying, when I asked them, do I have a father? And they said, yes. And I said, is he here?
No.
Of course not. So do I have a father who could tell me to do this or to do that? Because he's what?
Dead.
I'm separated from him, right? Mm-hmm. Now I can have influences or memories of what he used to do. Or used to tell me. But I know that's the separation is there. And I was trying to show them. I said, the old man, when the Lord said the old man is dead, that used to be, I used to be under his jurisdiction. He can tell me to do this or that. And I would have to do it. The only way I do it now is if I have memories of what he used to tell me. And then I do it. I put myself under that influence. It's just like the old man. He says that the old Annette would say, you know what? You don't have to take that. You don't. And you know that. So you would say, you know what? That's right. And you listen to the old Annette. And then whatever the end that was is death. But the new Annette, where he said, you know what? You don't have to do that. And he said, wait a minute. I'm what? I'm dead to you. And you're dead to me. Remember the Godfather when they were at the party? And he says, Fredo, I know you did it. You broke my heart. You remember that? And he said, you're dead to me. When you come to our house, let me know in advance when you come and see our mother. Yeah, you know, you remember that? He did. He was basically, you know what? He didn't want to have anything to do with them. And when you say I'm dead to sin, you have to tell an old man, it's like, I don't want to have anything else to do with you. Okay. Let me get some verses because I see the talk is not working. He says, for he that is dead is what? Freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being
raised from the dead dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him.
You see these enemies, he's just knocking them off. You got death, he just talked about that. You got sin, he just talked about that. Well, seven takes away the law. Eight takes away.
He says, verse 10. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth what?
So when you trusted Christ, you said you died with him, right? Bury with him, right? What's the next step? To do what?
Newness of
what? What do you mean? Newness of life. To what?
Walk in the Spirit.
Let not sin, therefore, reign in your what? Mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Who's he talking to?
Us.
Who is us?
The saints.
Okay, let me ask you this, Annette. What if I say, Annette, that's you. We can put your name in front of that. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. If I say, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourself unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God.
What's that?
Serve him, not sin.
Who said that?
Annette just said
it. I mean, who's... What is that? Who? Let me rephrase that.
Our apostle.
Our apostle? But who is that up to? How do you know that? How do you know it's up to you?
He just
told me. How do you know he just told you that?
Because I'm in his word.
I mean, it's...
And I
what's the key word in there that you know that he told you that? What's the key word in
yourselves.
There?
Yourselves.
Yeah,
your.
Ye also yourselves.
How about this? Let not... That's a statement.
Restrain not.
That's a statement of volition.
Statement of
that means a statement of your will. I say, let me have that. Let me have that. I'm just using it. And you know what? It's up to her to do what? If she gives it to me or not, right? If I say... Let me in. What's the choice? You do or you don't, right? Okay, and if I say, let not sin dominate you, what if you do? I couldn't help it, Lord.
You're making a choice.
I'm asking you, can you help it? I'm just asking, can you help it? Let me rephrase it. Say it.
You can if you access.
okay, right. So the problem is what? Okay,
but
let's.
But it has to be that the thought of doing it might not be there.
Of course.
You turn to.
That's why he says what? That's why he says, "Let not sin." Therefore, what?
Rain.
Look, he didn't say. I'll never forget this. One lady told me this. They went to a party, believers, and they were dancing. And then somebody came and says, oh, I thought you were saved. You're dancing. And I'm like, not me, but. And the lady was like, wait a minute. You know what? You could, saints can go out and have fun. If you call that walking in the flesh, okay, that's fine. He says, but that's a. You know, if he does it, this says he's not reigning. Or my pastor used to say this. He said, you don't have to wallow in sin. You know, you might fall in the hog pen,
right.
But you don't have to wallow in it. Right, so that's reigning.
Yeah.
If he takes up residence and rules and super rules, then he's reigning in you.
And you're going, fallen from
you're not utilizing it at all.
Right. Yeah.
You don't have to wallow in the hog pen.
Using it is the term, as Paul meant it, not the way the world.
Right. So he says, for neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield
yourself.
Now that's another statement of what?
Volition.
But yield. Yield means, you know what? To what? You give, when you come in, you see that sign, it says yield. That means you have to yield and give somebody else the what?
Right of way.
The right of way, the right of access. And he says, neither give your members the right of access to what? To sin. He says, for sin, or neither yield yourself, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto who? You think he wants to use us?
Yeah.
How do you know that? How do you know he told you that?
Because the word of God.
You just read it.
Yes.
For sin shall not have dominion over you. For ye are not under the law, but what? When you try to perform, that's when
you're taking the
reins. Sin comes up and says, you can't do this on your own. But when I know that I'm not trying to perform to meet his approval, I yield to him because that's who I am now. For example, we all do. So anyway, we'll have to stop right there. And we didn't get to Hebrews, but we'll pick up in chapter 3 next week. And but this does add to, I hope it adds to the, for a little bit to our understanding about sin and what the Lord has done when he died. So we'll pick up there, verse chapter 3, Hebrews chapter 3, next week.